ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 12, entitled Birth of Emperor Parikshit, Text Number 4. Sudha Uvacha. Apipala Dharma Rajaha. Pitrivad Ranjayan Prajaha. Nispriha sarva kamebhya Krishna padanu sevaya Sutta Uvacha. Sri Sudha Goswami said, Apipalat, administered prosperity, Dharma Rajaha, King Yudhishthir, Pitrivat, exactly like his father. Ranjayan, pleasing. Prajaha, all those who took birth. Nishpriha, without personal ambition. Sarva, all. Kamebhya, from sense gratification. Krishna Pada, the lotus feet of Lord Shri Krishna. Anusevaya, but dint of rendering continuous service. Translation by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Sri Sudha Goswami said, Emperor Yudhishthir administered generously to everyone during his reign. He was exactly like his father. He had no personal ambition and was freed from all sorts of sense gratification because of his continuous service unto the lotus feet of the Lord Shri Krishna. Purport. As mentioned in our introduction, there is a need for the science of Krishna in human society for all the suffering humanity of the world, and we simply request the leading personalities of all nations to take to the science of Krishna for their own good, for the good of society, and for the good of all the people of the world. So it is confirmed herein by the example of Maharaj Yudhishthir, the personality of goodness. In India, the people hanker after Ram Raja, because the personality of Godhead was the ideal king, and all other kings or emperors in India control the destiny of the world for the prosperity of every living being who took birth on the earth. Herein the word prajaha is significant. The etymological import of the word is that which is born. Does anyone know the meaning of etymological?
The origin,
tracing back the history of the word. The etymological import of the word is that which is born. On the earth, there are many species of life, from the aquatics up to the perfect human beings, and all are known as prajas. Lord Brahma, the creator of this particular universe, is known as the Prajapati, because he is the grandfather of all those, of all who have taken birth. Thus, praja is used in a broader sense than it is now used. The king represents all living beings, the aquatics, plants, trees, reptiles, birds, animals, and man. Every one of them is part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, Bhagavad Gita 14.4. And the king, being the representative of the Supreme Lord, thank you, is duty bound to give proper protection to every one of them. This is not the case with the presidents and dictators of this demoralized system of administration, where the lower animals are given no protection, while the higher animals are given so-called protection. But this is a great science which can be learned only by one who knows the science of Krishna. By knowing the science of Krishna, one can become the most perfect man in the world. And unless one has knowledge in this science, all qualifications and doctorate diplomas acquired by academic education are spoiled and useless. Maharaj Yudhishthira knew the science of Krishna very well, for it is stated here that by continuous cultivation of this science, or by continuous devotional service to Lord Krishna, he acquired the qualification of administering the state. The father is sometimes seemingly cruel to the son, but that does not mean that the father has lost the qualification to be a father. A father is always a father because he always has the good of the son at heart. The father wants every one of his sons to become a better man than himself. Therefore, a king like Maharaj Yudhishthira, who was the personality of goodness, wanted everyone under his administration, especially human beings who have better developed consciousness, to become devotees of Lord Krishna so that everyone can become free from the trifles of material existence. His motto of administration was, excuse me, all good for the citizens. For as personified goodness, he knew perfectly well what is actually good for them. He conducted the administration on that principle and not on the rakshasi, demonic principle of sense gratification. As an ideal king, he had no personal ambition, and there was no place for sense gratification because all his senses at all times were engaged in the loving service of the Supreme Lord, which includes the partial service to the living beings, who form the parts and parcels of the complete whole. Those who are busy rendering service to the parts and parcels, leaving aside the whole, only spoil time and energy, as one does when watering the leaves of a tree without watering the root. If water is poured on the root, the leaves are enlivened perfectly and automatically. But if water is poured on the leaves only, the whole energy is spoiled. Maharaj Yudhishthira, therefore, was constantly engaged in the service of the Lord, and thus the parts and parcels of the Lord, the living beings, under his careful administration, were perfectly attended with all comforts in this life and all progress in the next. That is the way of perfect management of state administration. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmrizamena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So in this verse, in the purport to this verse, Srila Prabhupada is giving all the leadership and management principles. One doesn't need to do any course outside. Everything is there in Prabhupada's books. So Prabhupada is teaching us how to manage and govern. In fact, Prabhupada's books contain everything. Prabhupada says, if you just read my books, you'll know me and you'll know everything else. Because if we understand Krishna, then we know everything else. So in this section of the Srimad Bhagavatam, is the birth of Emperor Parikshit. And this topic was brought up by the sages of Naimisharanya, headed by Shaunaka Rishi. They wanted to know about the birth and the death of King Parikshit. And they also wanted to know his activities. But they were then they were kind of sidetracked by other topics. So, and as we've been studying in the previous chapters, how they were discussing topics about narration of topics about the release of the Brahmastra by the son of Ashwatthama, and then how Ashwatthama was punished by Arjuna. And then we also heard Queen Kunti Devi's prayers. And and then also we heard about the Lord's departure from Dwarka, how it was such an emotional scene. And then even King Yudhishthira requested Krishna to stay back. And then we heard about everyone going to the battlefield of Kurukshetra to visit Bhishma Dev, who was on his deathbed. And then we also heard how Krishna was entering Dwarka and his reception at Dwarka, and specifically how the queens, his residing with the 16,000 queens. So now again the sages are bringing, are coming back to the original topic they were discussing. So they want to now, they want to know about the birth of Emperor Parikshit. So as yesterday we heard in the Srimad Bhagavatam class that Emperor Parikshit was the son of Abhimanyu, and his mother was Uttara. Uttara, right? Yeah. So here Suta Goswami is mentioning about Emperor Yudhishthira, because in the previous verse he said, "We all respectfully want to hear about him, Maharaj Parikshit, to whom Shukdev Goswami imparted transcendental knowledge. Please speak on this matter." So now here is talking about his family lineage. He's talking about Maharaj Yudhishthira. And here in this verse we hear Maharaj Yudhishthira's administration. So it's mentioned that, I'll read the verse again. "Emperor Yudhishthira administered generously to everyone during his reign. He was exactly like his father. He had no personal ambition and was freed from all sorts of sense gratification because of his continuous service unto the lotus feet of Lord Shri Krishna." So here Maharaj Yudhishthira is the ideal of a king, because a king or someone is required who will rule over the subjects. So these days we call the king a prime minister or a president. But nonetheless, there is someone who is in charge of the affairs of the state. So Maharaj Yudhishthira is the ideal of such kings. So we should all learn from him on an individual level or on a societal level or even on a broader level. So the main point here is that one has to be Krishna conscious, and then one can rule over one's subjects properly. So unless one is Krishna conscious, there are going to be so many problems for oneself and for one's subjects. So back in the day, the form of governance was monarchy. So today, the main form of governance in society is democracy. So there's democracy, there's socialism, there is communism. Communism means, or socialism means, okay, the people are in control. So it's a socialistic state. The people are in control of everything. But actually it doesn't work like that. It's only again a few people who control everything. So we have seen socialism has been a failure. And on CBD in Melbourne city, sometimes we see the socialists are quite prominent. They set up their stalls and they're propagating socialism. But history has proved that socialism has been a failure. And if you see communism, communism is about the people. Everything is meant for the people, and everything should be distributed equally. But the very basis of communism is that it is godless. They reject God. It is atheistic. So therefore, they cannot do good for anyone else. And even in communism, it's only people who have some power. They are in charge, and they basically work in their own interests. They have vested interests. And again, history has proved that. Like we had Stalin, and there are so many others. So history has again proved that even communism is a failure. And then there is democracy. Prabhupada would call it demon crazy. Because in democracy is about, it's a government of the people, by the people, for the people, and something like that. So in democracy, it's supposed to be that the people are in power. They choose who they want to be ruled by. So they choose their prime minister or president. So there's the voting system, and they all vote for their leader. But the problem with that is they don't know what's good for them. So even if they vote someone, that person cannot do good for them, because they themselves are ignorant. And Prabhupada would give this example, and it hits the nail. So it would say you have a bunch of asses, and then they decide to elect one ass as the leader. Now, what can that ass do? Because he's an ass. He cannot do any good. So that's the situation of democracy. People are ignorant, and or you take this example. If you have a bunch of kids, like when we all were going to school, year one, year two, no one likes to go to school. So if you tell the children, okay, do you like to go to school? On how many days would you like to go to school? They'll say maybe not at all, I just want to play, or I'll go 1 or 2 days in a week. And then you have a voting system. Let's have a vote amongst the kids. So whatever they decide, and that will be the system. But the parent knows that they'll all come up with, okay, let's just play day and night, or we'll just go to school twice a week. So that's not in their own interests. So that's the problem with democracy. People don't know what's good for them. And even in democracy, it is not fair. It's not people, it's the government by the people, for the people. And it's actually people who have power, they control everything. And most people don't have a say in anything. Most of the matters, people don't have a say. And we know how elections take place. They all are, elections these days are rigged. Yeah, even in the West, political parties who have a lot of influence, power and money, they are able to get more votes. And in fact, the corporations run the government in democracy. At this retreat, we were watching a video called Food Inc., in which they were showing that this corporation called Monsanto, how their management have taken positions in the US government, key positions, and that way they can influence the food policy. And that's how they've been able to introduce genetically modified food. And no one can go against it. So in this way, the corporations, they influence the government, and they actually run the country. So the banks and these very powerful corporations, they are running the country. And the leaders or the ministers are simply puppets in their hands. So in democracy, those who have power, they are in control. Those who have money. So Krishna's system of governance is monarchy. So in monarchy, monarchy is based on divinity, or in other words, it is a God conscious system in which the king or the president has absolute power. And the king is not elected by people. And the king is elected by a body of brahmanas or saintly people who know what's good for the praja, or good for their citizens. And we see the example of Maharaj Prithu in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Before Maharaj Prithu, his father, King Vena, was in charge. And King Vena was a very demoniac king. And who was King Vena's father? Anga. Maharaj Anga was a very saintly king. And was it that he couldn't have a son? Something? Yeah. And then the Brahmanas gave him the benediction, he would have a son. So he got a son, but this son was the source of all trouble. And Vena was so cruel that he would, just in playing with his friends, he would kill his friends. He would mercilessly kill the animals and he would torture his friends and kill them. And his father was so aggrieved by his heinous activities that he saw it like this. He saw, okay, now I'm getting old and Krishna wants me to retire from all these worldly affairs. It's time for me to get detached. And so he left one night, he just disappeared from the kingdom. And he went to the forest to pursue Krishna consciousness full time. Fully being absorbed in it. And then there was a problem. There was no king to rule the planet. So in the absence of a strong ruler, there will be many thieves and rogues. It's mentioned there that. And we see that these days there are so many thieves and rogues. Theft is very common. Burglary is very common. That's because the rulers or the governments are not very, very strong. So there were a lot of dacoits and thieves and rogues, and they were plundering the state. So if you put Vena on the throne, there's a problem because he's such a bad king. But Vena was very powerful. He was very strong. So everyone was scared of him. But if you don't put in there all these thieves and rogues, but if you put him, it's again a problem. So it was like a catch-22 situation. What do we do? So in the absence of a good king, in an emergency situation, the Brahmanas enthroned Vena. And some Brahmanas were the opinion, no, you should not have him as the king. It's just going to be trouble. The others said, no, we should have him. So then they decided, okay, we're going to place him as the king. So they enthroned him, and after some time there was problems. The thieves and dacoits were not there. They were scared of him because if he would treat his friends like that, how would he treat the thieves, you know, and rogues? So everyone was very scared of King Vena. But what Vena, his offense was, what he did, everything was, they could tolerate everything till he stopped the Brahmanas from doing sacrifices. And he said that, actually, I am Vishnu. Why are you off doing yajnas and to demigods and Vishnu? I am the king. The king is supposed to be the representative of the Lord. So, in other words, I am Vishnu. So, all of you should be worshipping me. You should do yajna for me. And he stopped all the sacrifices. And when he did that, the Brahmanas were enraged. And they, by the power of their mantras, they killed him. So actually the Brahmanas are in charge. So then they had a problem. Now what do we do? Now we don't have a king. Again the thieves and dacoits were becoming prominent. So then they decided, okay, now we'll churn Vena's body. And so first they churned his thighs. And then who came? A black personality? Bahuka, yeah. Bahuka emerged. Who took the sinful reactions of Vena. In other words, first they purified his body from sinful contamination. And then the next time they churned, the Shaktyavesh avatar of the Lord, Maharaj Prithu, appeared. So Krishna or his avatars only appear in the heart of a devotee, or they only appear somewhere which is pure. where there is the Vasudev consciousness, Vasudev state. So Maharaj Prithu appeared and then he was coronated as the king. So we see that the Brahmanas would elect, the Brahmanas and the Vaishnavas, they would enthrone a king. Not the people would enthrone a king, because the people don't know what's good for them. So in democracy, this is a big fault. So that's why it's a failure. And here Prabhupada mentions that in the text there's the use of the word praja. Pitrivad ranjayan prajaha. So Prabhupada says the etymological import of the word praja means that which is born. So it's interesting. Citizens, someone who takes birth in the kingdom is considered to be a citizen. So one does not have to apply for permanent residency, or one does not have to apply for citizenship. You just take birth and you're a citizen. There's no question of getting a certificate that you're a citizen of such and such country. Like Rasa Krishna had a child, and that child is not a citizen of Australia. Why? Because he's not a citizen. So, but according to the Vedic conception, if you take birth in a country, you're automatically a citizen. So there's no question of applying for citizenship or applying for permanent residency. The very fact you take birth, you're a citizen. Because praja means not only a human being, it refers to, but praja refers to any kind of living entity. Whether one happens to be a plant or aquatic, or a tree, or a reptile, or an insect, or whatever. So a king would, and that therefore here it's mentioned, the word is used, prajapati. So Brahma is the original prajapati. He is the grandfather of all living entities. And we also have so many other prajapatis, like Prajapati Daksha. And they were the progenitors of mankind. So a king was, he would see his citizens as praja. So in other words, he would see everyone equally. And why he had that vision? Because he was Krishna conscious. That's why. So we see for all living entities, love is a constant preoccupation. In all our dealings, we are seeking this exchange of love. Whatever kinds of any kind of dealing we're having with anyone, all the underlying motivation is we are seeking some kind of loving exchange. So love is actually imperative in leadership also. And as we know in Krishna consciousness, love means an activity which is done in a selfless way. And if it is not done in a selfless way, it is lust. So these days people mistake lust for love. So a lot of people's conception of love is some kind of sentiment, airy fairy sentiment, or it is carnal stimulation. That's what they call as love. So to gratify one's senses, they call that as love or mental stimulation. But actually, love means it has to be in relationship to Krishna. And such an activity has to be performed without any motivation. So if someone is a president or a prime minister, they have to have this kind of vision. They have to acknowledge love in their own lives, and also they have to acknowledge love in others' lives. So if they can't see like this, they are going to make mistakes. In other words, they are acting on the platform of sense gratification. So those who are acting on the platform of sense gratification, they cannot do the highest welfare activity for others, because they are seeing what's in it for me. So they are aspiring for a political post because they want something out of it. So they cannot do the highest welfare activity. Because we know when we use the word Atma, it can refer to the body, mind, or the soul. So Atma in the highest sense refers to the soul. So unless a prime minister or any leadership position, they recognize the divinity in all beings, and therefore their activities will not be targeted to the Atma in its highest context. So therefore they will be selfish by nature. So leaders who are very selfish, they attract disharmony. They cause disharmony amongst their praja. And then there is disloyalty. And eventually there is resentment. And we see that time and time again in societies taking place. Even the very fact that so many protests are taking place indicates that there is resentment, there's disloyalty, and there's disharmony. If you live in the city, or if you're doing service at Crossways, you can hear so many protests going outside. Urban yoga is something you can hear very clearly. The protests are going on. So there's so many protests taking place because people are not happy. Because they feel they are being exploited by the leaders. Whereas leadership who are acting purely on the Krishna conscious platform, they will attract the opposite. Loyalty, there will be harmony, and everyone will work in a cooperative spirit. And they can get the most difficult things done without any problem. And we see that in ISKCON, like our leaders like Radhana Swami and so many other leaders, they are doing the most impossible things. And even we see Srila Prabhupada, because of his love, he could get the impossible done. That's what Prabhupada did. And because such leaders are truthful and they act in the spirit of knowledge, so they can get the most challenging things done. So sometimes they are acting harshly, or sometimes they are acting very softly, but because the underlying motivation is this love, therefore they can get, practically speaking, anything done. And Prabhupada's disciples didn't mind being used by Prabhupada. And so they were empowered by Prabhupada to spread the Krishna consciousness movement. In fact, it's mentioned that if someone is in such a position, they have to see their dependents or their praja as their own family member. So in many religions of the world, we hear that one should love one's neighbor. One should treat others as one would like to be treated. But the Vedic, in the Vedas, it's taken one step higher. So one should treat others even better than oneself. And that's our philosophy. Trinada pisuni chena taror apisaishnuna amanina maradena kirtaniya sadahari. So one should treat others as better than oneself. So as we know, with Krishna we can have five kinds of loving relationships. In this shanta, in neutrality, there is dasya, servant master, there's sakya, there's relationship of friendship, there's vatsalya, parenthood, and there's madhurya, conjugal love. So one has to, if someone is in such a position, one has to try to act like in the vatsalya relationship. Because in vatsalya, the child is very much dependent on the parent. The child is in a helpless situation. So it's like the relationship of a mother and a son or a daughter. So the child is extremely dependent on the mother, and the mother treats the child with utmost respect and care. And the mother knows, if I don't take care of the child will die without me, without my assistance. So this was the vision of Maharaj Yudhishthira. He saw everyone as the praja, those who are entirely dependent upon him. So this is a very high level of Krishna consciousness. It's not very easy to come to that level. But this is the level of Maharaj Yudhishthira, and therefore he's the ideal. So in other words, to come to that level, one has to see everyone as a servant of the Supreme Lord. One has to see all living entities as part and parcels of Krishna. Because if one is not seeing them as parts and parcels of Krishna, if one is simply seeing them on the bodily platform, then one cannot do any good to them. Therefore, the welfare activities will be very limited. As Prabhupada mentions in the purport that it's like watering the leaves of a tree without watering the root. And not only that, first one has to be convinced oneself before one can convince others. If one doesn't have something, how can you give it to others? It's just very, very simple to understand. If one doesn't know mathematics, how can you teach maths to others? So first we have to know it ourselves. So unless one is Krishna conscious, one cannot make others Krishna conscious. It's that simple. So if we want our preaching to be effective, first we have to be Krishna conscious ourselves. Then we can make others Krishna conscious. And it's not that we do some MBA and we'll be able to, you know, manage a spiritual organization. We do some crash courses in leadership from outside. You know, all those things are good. They're tools. They're managemental tools. But the main thing is Krishna consciousness. Therefore, Prabhupada stressed that my devotees should read these books every day. We have to study these books. So unless we study them, how can we be Krishna conscious? Then how can we make others Krishna conscious? So Maharaj Yudhishthira was on the Brahman platform. He knew the three aspects of Brahman. Brahman, Paramatma and Bhagavan aspect. He knew all those three. And he was basing his governance on these three aspects. So if you are only Brahman realized, you can bring your dependence to that level. If you are Paramatma realized, you'll bring to that level. If you are Bhagavan realized, you'll bring to that level. So we have to sincerely strive to come to that level in order to benefit others. Otherwise our preaching will be very, very superficial. We'll just be on the surface. And these days we see that leadership is very difficult because it is based on the bodily conception of life. We see the leaders of the world, they have their own personal issues in their lives. And then they are conditioned by so many upadhis or designations. Therefore we see there's nationalism. There's nationalism, there's racism, there's sexism, there's tribalism or whatever. There's so many kinds of isms which are all based on the bodily concept of life. So therefore Krishna's first teaching is, we are not the body, we are the spirit soul. And then we are servant of Krishna. And here it's mentioned that that Maharaj Yudhishthira was like the representative of the personality of Godhead. So a king is in such a responsible position. If someone is head of state, he's in a very responsible position because he's the representative of the personality of Godhead. It's quite a big thing. You're representing God. And it's the duty of the praja to treat the king like God. Because he's bringing everyone to that path. So he's in many ways it's like the position of the spiritual master. Is like the in-between, the via medium. So like how a spiritual master is receiving blessings and realizations from Krishna, and then he passes them on to his disciples. And then from his disciples he accepts their devotion and their service. And then he offers that to Krishna. And he's not attached to the results. So all the results he offers it. And their service and everything is used for the benefit of all other living entities. So a king is in a similar kind of position. He's accepting blessings and realizations from higher realms and passing them down. And then passing the service without thinking oneself the doer. Prakriti kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasha ankar vimur atma kartaham iti manyate. So it's not, Maharaj Yudhishthira didn't think that he was the doer or karta. So he was just acting as an instrument of the Lord, and he was passing all the service to the Lord without taking any credit for himself. So this is a sacred monarch. And when one serves in this way, then they are naturally empowered by Krishna. That's also very easy to understand. If you're working in an organization and you do your activities, do your work very nicely, naturally you'll be empowered. They'll give you more and more responsibility. They'll give you more and you'll get perks and everything. Because you're doing a good job, so they want to give you more responsibility so you can do more work for them. So in the same way, if we serve Krishna nicely, then gradually we will be, if we give our best to others, what we have, whatever we have, we share it with others without thinking that, you know, if I give it to someone else, if I teach such and such devotee this, if I give my recipe out, this recipe I have, which is, you know, it's a knockout, and if I give it to someone else, then, you know, they'll get that recipe and then everyone will know about it. But that's not our mood. Our mood is whatever we have, we share it with others. And as I mentioned, Emperor Yudhishthira administered very generously. Our mood is of being generous. Prabhupada's mood is of being generous. Like in this temple, so much prasadam is being distributed very generously. That's one of the things which struck me the most when I was visiting this temple in my initial days. So what struck me the most was that here they're very, very generous. They have a very big heart. And I just used to come to eat. And they're giving so much prasadam. And I thought, this is so nice. But I did appreciate whoever's in charge, they have a very big heart. So that's Prabhupada's mood. We are very generous. And when we are very generous, Krishna gives more to us then. If we are very generously giving Krishna, then Krishna will empower us to do, to perform higher and higher tasks. But if we are very cripple-minded, if we are like a miser, then we will lose what we have. It's like a pot which has cracks in it, and then all the water comes out of the pot, and then you're left with nothing. So a brahmana has to be very generous. And we are a brahminical society, so our aim is to give Krishna consciousness to others in a very generous way. So I think it's getting a bit late. I should stop here. Do you have any questions or comments? Those who have voted also not getting any benefit. Usually those, it says never trust a politician. So those who, politicians make so many promises, this and that, but when they come in power, they don't fulfill most of their promises. So even those who voted are upset. Therefore they choose someone else. And again the same mistake is made. Because actually, a politician cannot satisfy everyone. It's impossible. Resources are limited. Right? And everyone has unlimited desires. And how can he satisfy everyone? And then he has his own desires to deal with. It's impossible. There's no common grounds. And they're not working on universal principles. They're working on very, very superficial principles. Anything else? Yes,
please.
That's such a big section. You need to read fourth canto. There's like so many chapters on Prithu Maharaj.
No, I thought it would be a good example.
Well, his basic principle was he was performing yajna to the Supreme Lord, and as a result of that there was no scarcity. And initially there was scarcity because Mother Earth was restraining all the seeds and herbs and grains, and that was because the citizens were not very pious. So, and then they struck a deal, and then he did what Bhumi Devi told him, and then there was sufficient production. So she requested him to flatten the surface of the earth so the water stays in the ground.
Yeah.
Because the seeds, for so long no seeds were cultivated, therefore they were kind of hidden in the earth, they were not coming out. There's that whole pastime, they have to look at it carefully.
He was extremely generous.
Yeah. Everyone got something out of the earth for their sustenance. Everyone was milking the earth, taking the form of a calf. And then everyone had a pot. So someone transformed into a pot, then someone transformed into a calf, and they milked the earth had taken the form of a cow. So they milked their necessities. Like describes snake milked poison. Everyone got what they wanted. Hare Krishna. Anything else? Yes, Guru.
Actually, these days people are so much self-centered, or they don't have the necessities for themselves. So, how can they give it to others? First, you need to possess something to give it to others. But everyone is struggling in the competition of the modern age.
People have things, not they don't have anything. People give so many kinds of charities. Australia, giving charity is very common, and Australians are quite charitable by nature. So it's not that they don't have. Maybe a certain section of population doesn't have.
Yeah.
But
people
have resources, but they're just giving to the wrong place. They're not giving to the Brahmanas and Vaishnavas. They're giving to the drunkards and meat eaters. And then they themselves are getting implicated in it. Okay.
Do you know anything about the history of the democracy?
No. You need to look it up on Wikipedia. I didn't study that much. I mean, they taught us in school, but you know, that was many, many years ago. I've forgotten all that. You can look it up. I don't know. I don't know. I'll be speculating. Does anyone know history of democracy? You know? No? Okay. So you can look it up on Wikipedia. Everything is there. Yeah, that we discussed. Srila Prabhupada ki?
Yeah.